So we'll continue our series on who is God, and today we talk about God gives rest. Quick reminder of last week, we looked at the cross, the greatest revelation of God. We often focus on receiving forgiveness on the cross, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what the gospel is all about. But we sometimes forget a bit about other aspects of the cross as well. And so I wanted to bring that a little bit into balance last week, by really focusing on what can we learn about God and about God's character when we look at the cross. We see God's love there. We see God's compassion in there. We see God's holiness in there. We see God's wrath. We see his hatred for sin. We see God's forgiveness. And we see God's justice. So there are so many aspects of God that we can learn about when we simply look at the cross and ask ourselves the question, why did God do it this way? Why did he choose to create the world? Why did he choose to allow us to sin, and fully knowing before the creation of the world that if he creates this world this way, Jesus would have to die on the cross for us? So my encouragement to all of us last week, and I think that's a lifelong journey, let's put ourselves into the shoes of God the Father. Let's put ourselves into the shoes of Jesus on the cross. Emotions, motives, reasons, all these things. And that'll help us get to know better who God actually is. Now today's focus, God gives rest. Ask the average person on the street. Imagine we are all going to Marienplatz right now, and we're doing kind of a survey or an interview or something with 100 people, and we're asking them, what do you want right now? If you could choose, ask for anything, what would that be? Most people would say something like, you know what? I just need a break. I just want to go somewhere for a month and not do anything. I just need to get away from people and especially from responsibilities for a while. My work, my family, my this, my that, whatever it might be in our personal situation. Everything is just wearing me out. I'm just so tired. I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm overworked. I'm stressed. I have so much to do. I'm running out of energy. I'm running out of strength. In other words, what people are saying, I need rest. I need a rest, I need a break from all these things because this world is just too much for me to handle. Now, the good news for us as Christians is God gives us rest. He promised it to us. Rest is not something that is dependent on what's happening around us. Rest is not something like, okay, so if my work is less stressful, then I can rest. Or if these circumstances change, if that problem in my life goes away, then I can rest. That is not what Jesus promised us. He promised us that his rest is available in all circumstances. His rest is not dependent on what's happening around us. And that's what I want to focus on today. Now, just one disclaimer before I get into it. The Bible uses different words, but it's always the same theme. Now, that doesn't mean that they're exactly the same. But sometimes today I will talk about rest. Sometimes I will talk about peace. And sometimes I might use some words that are related to that. So they are not exactly the same, but they all carry with them the same theme. It's all the same principle. If I find rest, I also find peace. If I find peace, I also find rest. While they are not exactly the same, they are very closely connected. Because if I have no rest in my life, I also have no peace, and if I have no peace, then I have no rest. So I might use these terms a little bit loosely sometimes or interchangeably, but the theme behind it is hopefully clear. Whether we call it rest or whether we call it peace, that's not the main focus for today. My focus is God wants to give it to us. And that's what we will be focusing on for the rest of our time. So, what is rest? That's a very difficult question, because rest, obviously, is very abstract, can mean very different things to different people. Let me answer another question instead. Instead of defining rest, how can we experience rest? We can experience rest when we think we are in control. There are no circumstances around me that are out of control. There are no people around me who can tell me what to do. There are no deadlines. There is no pressure. And so the circumstances around me do not control me, but instead I control the circumstances. For example, I don't have police looking for me because I committed a crime. I was never in this kind of situation, but I, from what I hear, and I can very well imagine it, if you commit a crime and you're hiding from the police, it's very hard to find rest. Why? Because you always have the feeling there are circumstances around me that are beyond my control. And if anyone ever finds me or rats me out or something or calls the police and says, hey, there's someone here, that person looks suspicious, and the police comes, then, okay, I have to go to prison. So when we feel that we are in control of our circumstances, that's where we can find rest. We also can experience rest when we have enough strength, when we are not tired, when we are not hungry, when we are not ill. I can imagine, again, I've never been in this kind of circumstances, but someone who is just really sick and maybe is not sure how long he or she will still live, and maybe we are not old yet, so maybe around my age or something like this, and suddenly you get diagnosed with cancer, then I think it's very hard to find rest in these kind of circumstances. But when we feel that we have enough strength, when we feel that we have enough to eat and all these things, then we can experience rest. That's how most people would say, if you ask them on the street, how can you find rest? They would give these kind of answers. So how would they find rest? What would most people say? The first definition would be, or the first key element would be, I have no problems. I have enough money, I'm healthy, there are no broken relationships around me, there are no uncertainties, it's not like there's a war going on around me right now, and I'm just wondering if I go to bed right now, will a bomb detonate on my house, these kind of things. So most people would say, if I don't have any problems, then I can find rest. But there's a second way. And that is this, having confidence that these problems around us will not harm us. When I'm able to say, you know, I'm sick today, but I know I'll be healed. You know, I don't have a lot of money today, and my bank account looks pretty empty, but I know that I will always have enough. I know that I always have enough to eat. And I know that I can still buy what is necessary for me to live. Yes, I live in a neighborhood that isn't very safe, but I know nobody will harm me. I know that I will be protected. When you think of these two types of, or these two ways, how we can find rest, most human beings would say, I want the first one. And as Christians, we then say, if God promises me rest, if he promises me peace, then the conclusion must be he must take away all my problems. And then we kind of get frustrated, or we get disillusioned when we then realize, okay, I'm a Christian and I ask God to take away my problems, but he doesn't. And there are a lot of people who then turn away from God because they say, he promised to give me peace, he promised to give me rest, but he doesn't solve my problems. so I don't believe that his promises are true. The problem is, God never promised us to take away all our problems. We might think he did, we might hope he did, but he didn't. He never said we won't have any problems. He never said that we'll have a problem-free life. He never said that he'll shield us from all our troubles. So he didn't promise us the first type of rest. He promised us the second type of rest. He will give us peace or rest in the midst of our problems. That's his promise, not the first one. John 16, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The part that we sometimes don't like, that we sometimes quickly read over, Jesus is saying, you will have problems. You will have troubles. You will face circumstances that we will be tempted, where we will be tempted to lose our rest over it. Maybe financial difficulties, maybe relational difficulties, whatever it is for you, we all know our situations. We will face troubles, we will face problems, and we will face circumstances that will tempt us to lose our rest, our peace over it. God here, Jesus here specifically tells us, I will not take away all your problems. It's not going to happen. No matter how much we ask him, he will not just simply take them all away. You and I will face circumstances that will be beyond our own control. But God did promise here that he will always be in control of all circumstances. He says he has overcome the world. There are no circumstances that are not in Jesus' control. And if we believe that, and if we live accordingly, that's where we can find rest. Not because of our own strength, not because of our own resources, not because all problems will just magically go away, but when we have faith that God is in control of all circumstances and he can change any circumstances at any time in any way he wants. Think about small children. Whether we are parents or not, we've all seen this kind of situation. There's a small child running around on the street, having fun, suddenly falling down, knees bloody, something like that. What do? They are in pain, they scream. And what do they usually do if the parents are around? They run to the parents and they simply want to be hugged. And they simply want to be comforted by the parent, by the mom, or by the dad. And it's always fascinating to me how their whole demeanor completely changes the moment they feel the physical touch of their parents. 1 second before, they're lying there on the street and they're bloody and everything and they're in pain and they just scream uncontrollably. And the moment mom or dad is there and hugs them, they suddenly calm down. Do they still feel the same pain? Yeah, the pain doesn't get less just because they get hugged. Do they still face the same kind of circumstances? Are they still in trouble? Yes, they are. But the very moment they experience the presence and the comfort of the mom or of the dad, suddenly there is something bigger that lessens. It doesn't really lessen the pain. The pain is still the same. But the perception of the pain at that moment totally changes because they suddenly realize, in light of the comfort of my mom or of my dad, suddenly this pain is not that bad any longer. It's not that serious any longer. even though objectively it's still the same pain. They trust in their parents. They trust my parents will take care of my problems. My parents take good care of me. They take good care of my problems. And because they know that, and they experience that the moment they experience the hug or the physical comfort, they often stop crying, or at least they cry less the moment they are in the parents' presence. That's the offer that God gives to you and to me. He doesn't say, no more pain, no more problems, carefree life. He never promised that. But he did say, just like a little child can experience rest and comfort and peace in the presence of their parents, just like that, you can experience peace and rest when you come to God and when you bring your problem in God's presence. So, what do we have to do to experience God's rest? Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Does this verse say, the moment we ask God to take away our problems, he will take anything away? No. He is saying we will face anxiety. We will face troubles. We will face difficulties in this life. What is he encouraging us to do? Bring them to God. Run to God. Pray. Make your request known to God. And then what will he do? He never said, okay, the moment you bring your problems to me, I'll resolve them all. Just like that. Problem gone. That's not what this verse is saying. But there's one thing he promises us. Peace. When we bring our problems to God, he always gives peace. When we pray, something will happen inside of us. We'll be reminded, God is in control. We'll be reminded, God has been faithful in the past. That's why I believe he is saying here specifically, with thanksgiving. When we are reminded of, when we give thanks for the past, we will receive confidence in the future. And we will say, you know, I'm facing financial problems right now, but remember those 20 times in the past when I was in similar situations and he brought me through every single time? Why wouldn't he do it again? So as we give thanks for the past, we receive confidence in the future. As we pray, we are reminded of God's faithfulness. We will be reminded of God's promises. We will be reminded of promises from the Bible, promises that he has given to us personally. And all these things will just change our perception of the circumstances. As we pray, God will remind us of all these truths. And as a result, we will be reminded, yes, God is in control. He has been throughout the Bible. He has been in control throughout my life. He's done it so many times in the past. He'll do it again. He'll take care of my circumstances as well. He will be faithful once again. Sometimes God changes the circumstances through our prayers. I'm not denying the power of prayer in a sense of that prayer can move mountains. Of course it can, but not all the time. But one thing he always does, he changes our perception. He gives us rest. He gives us peace. And we can find it as we bring our problems to him. Let's look at another promise from Jesus. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus offering here? Once again, rest. But what is our part? Come. That's our responsibility. He is not forcing himself on us. If I'm here and Jesus is here, Jesus is not going to take the first step. He's not going to say like, oh, if you're not coming, then I'm coming to you. No, he is waiting for us. And if we choose to not come, he's like, I offered you. It's your choice. If you want to solve your problems by yourself, go ahead. If you want to try to give yourself rest by working hard and solving all your problems and fixing everything, go ahead. Keep on trying. He doesn't say it that way, but basically, that's what's going on. But he is saying, if we come to him, he will give us rest. Our part is to come to him, spend time in his presence, talk to him, listen to what he is saying. And specifically here, he's saying this when we are tired. When there's too much work and we can't catch up. When there's too much pressure around us. When there are too many expectations from too many people that we can't fulfill. When it's just around us, we are weary, we are working, we are tired, we are trying so hard, and we're coming to the end of ourselves. And we come to this point where we are like, I can't do this any longer, it's too much, I'm done. And Jesus is saying, when you're in that kind of situation, simply come to me. That's where you can find rest. Again, being like little children, running to their parents when they are in pain. To whom does he give that? All. All you that labor and are heavy laden. That includes you. That includes me. Not to some people, not in some circumstances. He's not saying if you didn't sin a lot in the last week, if you're good enough. Always. He will always give us rest when we come to him. It's our choice. He's offering us the rest. But we have to come. We have to take the first step. And if we do that, he will give us rest because he always keeps all his promises. Similar message in Psalm 23. Very famous. Some of us might know it even by heart, but I'm pretty sure we've all heard it many times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Does that sound like a problem? That sounds like something that seems to take away my rest. That seems to take away my peace. That sounds like something, whoa, circumstances are out of control. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, where? In the presence of my enemies. Will we be in the presence of enemies in this life? Yes. Maybe not enemies in the sense of war or something, though it could be, maybe for some of us. But definitely we will face enemies, people who oppose us, people who are angry with us, people who are mean to us, all these kind of things. People who just work against us, maybe in the workplace, people who just for whatever reason decided, I want to bring this person down. We will face enemies. And is Jesus or is God saying here, okay, I'm going to kill all your enemies? No. We will be in the presence of enemies. But what does he do? In the midst of all of that, he prepares a table for us. What is a table? Something where we can be filled, a place where we can be nourished, a place where we feel safe, where we can sit down, a place where we can rest. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the same message as the verses that we just looked at. Yes, we will face enemies. Yes, we will still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. These things won't just magically disappear just because we ask him. But we will fear no evil. We will experience God's comfort. He will prepare a table before us, and goodness and mercy will follow us. Once again, the Bible gives us the same message. We will have problems. We will face struggles. We will face oppositions. But in the midst of all of this, God will give us peace. Now, the analogy used here is that of a shepherd. What's the job of the sheep? Follow the shepherd. Not advising the shepherd and saying, hey, let's not go here, let's go over there, there's better grass over there. The sheep don't have to do the job of the shepherd. They only have one job. Just follow his voice. That's our role. Not figuring out our lives by ourselves. Not figuring out this is how I can find peace and then pursuing our own goals. Simply following God's voice. And when we do that, he will do his part. He will give us peace. Similar message in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. What are watchmen for? In the old days, if you have a city there, there's a wall around it. Watchmen are there to immediately alert, hey, there's an enemy army coming up. Get ready for battle. In other words, watchmen are there to protect us. They are there to give us peace. Why are we building a house? So that we can live in it. What does a house do? It protects us. It gives us peace. And what is this psalmist saying? We can do all these things. We can put watchmen on the wall. We can build houses. We can do all these things. But if God isn't in it, it's all in vain. We won't find peace in the things of this world. We won't find peace in money. I mean, the psalmist doesn't say that directly, but now kind of the practical application. We won't find peace in a big bank account being able to say, you know, I have enough money for the rest of my life. I'm good. It will not give us peace. We will not find peace just because we protect ourselves with a bunker or who knows what, and then thinking like, now I feel at peace. Nobody can attack me any longer. It will not work. The things of this world can never give us peace. So what should we do instead? Seek God. Work with God. God can use watchmen to protect us. But in the end, watchmen can't give us peace. Only God can. God can give us houses so we can sleep in peace. But in the end, a house won't give us peace. God does. The last sentence here, for so he gives his beloved sleep. How can we sleep when we feel at peace, when we feel at rest? I've never been in a war zone, but I know some people who did. I imagine that people who are in a war, they don't sleep well. They don't rest well. There's no peace because you're in constant fear. And I do know specifically before I was a Christian, I had a lot of irrational fears, fears that were just made no sense, but they were there still. And there were times when I really couldn't sleep, and I was constantly afraid because I always had this fear that something bad is going to happen to me. The things of this world can never give us peace. God can. And so we have to find rest in his presence. Listen to what he is saying. And when he is telling us, yeah, save more, or when he is telling us, do something that will help your peace, then of course we do it. But our trust is in God and not the things of this world. Same theme in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. God gave us an example. What did he do in creation? 6 days he worked. On the seventh day, when the work was completed, he rested. We ought to follow his example. Seek rest in God's presence. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. We don't have to work for our salvation any longer. We don't have to earn our salvation anymore. We don't have to be good enough for our salvation anymore. We can simply receive it. That's how we can find rest. But what this verse also makes clear, it's not automatic. God doesn't force his rest on people. We have a part to do. A few verses earlier, the author of Hebrews explains to us who can enter God's rest and who can't. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore, this is referring to the Israelites in the wilderness, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter into it, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why did some people not enter God's rest? Because they didn't believe that God would protect them. They didn't believe that God would provide for them. They didn't believe that God would take care of all their needs. They didn't believe that God would give them the power to overcome their enemies and he would fight for them. Now, of course, when we think about the Israelites, none of them doubted that God was real. They had all seen God's miracles. They had all seen the Red Sea. They had all seen the 10 plagues. They had all seen all these great miracles, how God just destroyed Where did that come from? That was weird. Okay. Where was I? Here. They all believed that God can do miracles. They all believed that God existed. That was not the question. So what was it then? Why did they have unbelief? Because they didn't trust in God's character. They didn't trust in God's faithfulness. They didn't trust in God's love, in his care, And so they were not sure whether God would do it again. Yes, he did those miracles back in Egypt. I've seen them with my own eyes, so there's no denying that. But now I'm here in the wilderness, and there is no water. Will God give me water to a drink that I need? They doubted, and they offended God with their doubts. And that's what it comes down to. They didn't doubt that God can do miracles. But when it really mattered, they doubted whether God would do it again. And what does the author here say of Hebrews? That's unbelief. And that's why they could not enter God's rest. So for us to be able to enter God's rest, we have to believe not just that God exists, not just that Jesus is God, not just on the cross that he died for our sins, but going deeper than that. Trusting in God's character. Trusting in God's faithfulness. Trusting in God's love. Trusting in God's promises. If we do that, we will experience God's rest. In Matthew 6, Jesus again said something similar. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or how shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Same message once again. If I'm worried about what am I going to eat tomorrow, I have no rest, I have no peace. But if I trust God will provide for all my needs, I will find rest. I will find peace in his presence. So we have a choice. We can focus on the things of this world, focus on our problems, focus on the things that take away our peace, focus on everything else but God. Focus on the number on our bank account. Focus on this, focus on that. Focus on the broken relationship over there. And just think like, oh no, how many problems do I have in my life? Or we can focus on God. We can focus on who is God. We can focus on, I want to be right with him. I want to have a good relationship with him. I need to repent of my sin. I want to do God's will. And we can focus on these things. And God is saying, when we focus on these things, he will take care of the things of this world. Now, specifically in this passage, he mentions food and clothing, but of course it goes beyond that. It includes things like peace. When we know that God takes care of all our problems, of all our situations, of all our needs, it will give us peace. And of course, it also includes things like worldly problems, money, and all these things. But God will take care of all these things. Our part, God must be the first priority in our lives. Not the second one, not the third. God must be more important than our family. God must be more important than our job. God must be more important than all these things. He has to be the first priority. And my first dedication must be, I want to be right with God. And all the other things, I still need to take care of them. Of course, God wants us to take care of family. God wants us to earn an honest living and all these things. But if I have to choose, my first priority is my own relationship with God. That's what matters. And if we then believe that God will take care of all our needs as he promised here, then we will have peace. We will have rest. So these are some of the main passages that teach us how to find rest in God. Obviously, the list is not complete. There are lots of passages and lots of principles in the Bible from the beginning to the end, but the message is always the same. We can find rest in God when we come into His presence. Of course, that means we have to have faith. Not just that God exists, but we have to have faith in God's character. We have to have faith in God's faithfulness. We have to trust in His promises. This can, of course, those are logos promises. Promises, again. What is it today? My goodness. So, logos promises straight from the Bible. If there's a promise in the Bible, it's a promise for you. It's a promise for me. But also Rhema promises. Promises that the Holy Spirit speaks to you personally, that He speaks to me personally. But we need to trust in those. Example, when we moved to Germany, we had a promise from God. He will take care of us. He will take care of kids' education and all these things. Did I find that in the Bible? Well, indirectly, yes, but not directly for us, for our situation. But He promised us that He will take care of these things, and He did. So trusting in God's promises gives us peace. We need to come to Him, spend time in His presence, because that's where we can find peace. Not running after all the problems ourselves and trying to solve them ourselves, but really going to Him first. And if we do all these things, then we can find peace. We can find rest. In our family life, we went through quite a number of struggles as well. Example, 2008, we were pregnant with Anna, or not us, but mainly my wife. We faced financial uncertainties. We got a doctor's report that she might have some disabilities. Of course, all these circumstances were horrible and not something that you feel like, hey, this is awesome. These circumstances tempted us to lose our peace. 2012, 2013, Noah had a lot of health issues. We were in and out of the hospital all the time. Of course, these kind of circumstances seem to take away our peace. 2015, things in Shanghai seem to go all wrong. God told us, stay. Your time in Shanghai is not yet up. I want you to stay. At the time, He said, I want you to stay. Later on, we figured out He wanted us to stay one more year. But at the time, all we knew was that God told us to stay. In the midst of circumstances that were just really bad, and we were thinking, is God giving us a sign to leave Shanghai now? He was clearly telling us, no, stay. 2016, we started to prepare for the move of Germany. A lot of uncertainties we faced, a lot of challenges we faced before the move, during the move, and then, of course, the first few months and years here. The last 8 years, going through all the ups and downs with this church, wondering why God called us here, after all these years, we still are not a very big church, or we still didn't really see the fruit of what we thought God called us to, and all these things. So my point is, we know what it's like to face challenges. We know what it's like to face uncertainties, and we know what it's like to face circumstances that seem out of control, and when we will just be tempted to lose all our rest and all our peace because of the circumstances. But throughout all these struggles, we can also say, God never failed us. He never allowed us to face a situation that we couldn't handle. And He always gave us peace when we needed it. He was always there when we turned to Him and when we ran to Him and when we said, God, this is too much. God, this is crazy. God, this is disappointing. God, I can't do this any longer. Whatever kind of emotions we were facing, God was always there, and He always gave us peace. Did we try to find peace by solving the problems ourselves? Sure, we tried. It never worked. It always made things worse. But God has always been faithful when we turn to Him. So the reason I'm saying this, today's message, is really not just head knowledge. It's not just something that we learned from the Bible and we kind of pass on head knowledge to all of you. This is a message that we have experienced a lot throughout the years. God gives peace all the time. When we turn to Him, we ask Him for it, we bring our problems to Him, He is always there. He always gives peace. So in conclusion, the world is trying to tell us, solve your problems. And we will be tempted to try that approach as well. We will be tempted to think, okay, because God is God and He is in control of all circumstances, so that means that He will just solve any problem for us the moment we ask Him to. We might wish He did that. We might pray that He does that. We might be disappointed if He doesn't. But He never promised. It won't change the fact God will not simply solve all our problems for us, because He never promised that. What He did promise, that He will give us peace in the midst of worldly problems. Peace is available, rest is available to all of us right now and anytime we need it. All we need to do, come to God, spend time in His presence, pray, believe in Him, trust in Him, trust in His promises. And that's how we can find peace, how we can find rest. So my question to all of us is, do we want to experience God's peace right now? Do we need His rest right now? What kind of worldly circumstances are pulling or seem to be pulling away the peace from us, and we seem to face the opposite? Maybe today is the day to say, I tried enough by myself. I tried enough in my own strength. Now it's time that I'm going to bring it to God and let Him give me peace and let Him solve the problem, because I can't solve it by myself anyways. May we pray. God, thank You for Your peace, and thank You for Your faithfulness, that You're always there for us. You're always there with us in all circumstances. No matter what this world is throwing at us, Your peace can never be overcome. So thank You for this promise, and please help us today. Whatever is pulling at us right now, whatever is trying to take away our peace, help us today to bring it to You. Help us today to just lay it down at Your feet, lay it down at the cross, and let You take care of it. So Lord, we pray that You will speak to us right now, what it might be that is taking away our peace, and help us to surrender it to You and to trust You that You will take care of it. Thank You, Jesus. We love You. Speak to us as we trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and just listen to what He wants to say to us.